Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We are back with Dr. Alton Barron, MD, and he launched the Musicians Treatment Foundation in the States. And we've just been talking about how music is a powerful healer. How would you go about using that music as medicine when people are heading in for surgery?
Right, that's great. Obviously, I'm just a orthopedic shoulder, elbow, and hand surgeon, so I don't more complicated things or different types of things. But when my patients are going in for surgery, they're always anxious. I always tell them when they express anxiety and they're asking me questions, do I really need this and so forth, and all the other questions, I say, look, the fact that you're anxious is great because it means you don't also need to see my wife, who's a psychiatrist. You know, it's natural for us to be anxious before surgery, and music is a great relaxer. So I try to talk to them about, after I've discussed and planned the surgery, I'll say, well, what kind of music would you want to hear? And they immediately sort of relax. Just the fact that they're going to be able to hear music in the OR is huge for them. And then I say, well, I have an old-fashioned iPod that holds 10,000 songs, so I have pretty much something for everyone. And I say, what would you like to hear? And frankly, a lot of them say, I just want you to listen to what makes you happy. I want you to do the best job you can. And I say, okay, well, that's fine. But at the same time, many of them, especially the ones that are under little sedation or light sedation, they remember the music and they'll talk about it and they'll even sing along. I mean, it's really a positive experience. And I would encourage anybody who hasn't tried that to do so. There'll be times in the OR. I mean, the operating room is kind of my happy place anyway. I mean, that's where I'm most relaxed by far. And maybe all surgeons don't necessarily claim that, but one aspect of that is that I'll often end up singing while I'm working. And then the scrub tech will also be singing. Or I'll hear a nurse that I haven't really interacted that much suddenly singing with perfect pitch some song that comes on, and then it generates a whole other conversation with the patient. And because I treat a lot of people who are musicians, but also in the music industry and creative arts, it just stimulates a really positive, I wouldn't go so far as to say familial, but it's certainly a very positive group interaction, if you will.
So it's actually bringing you all together like a symphony, the patient, the nurse, the doctor.
Yes. And in fact, one of our scrub techs is a very fine jazz hip-hop musician, and he's a percussionist but also a songwriter, and he's had some success with that, but we've actually featured him on our website because he's a classic example of someone who really cannot devote his life to his first love because he can't make enough money at it. Mm-hmm. So he works as a scrub tech, but he is, you know, he has to catch as catch can to write music and to do gigs and so forth. It's kind of his sweet spot is midnight, you know, to do that work. And that's not ideal. I think probably in Canada, there's a little more support, national support for that. I mean, we have some, but it seems like it's being chipped away at annually by people who want to spend the money on something else.
And what sort of music do you often get asked for? Is there kind of a theme with it, or do you see a wide variety with the musicians?
I see a pretty wide variety. You mean what kind do they request in the operating room?
I believe that's what she meant, Doctor.
I think the question was what do I see? What kind of music is typically requested in the operating room?
That's right.
Yeah. So I'd say about half the people request classical, and I think they do that. I mean, some of them are classical musicians, and that's just what they always listen to. But I think others just intuitively think, well, classical's so relaxing, it's so calm, maybe that's going to create the best atmosphere for my surgery. I think that's some of them. But a lot of people love classic rock and love kind of the singer-songwriter from the 60s, 70s, and 80s, and I have everything. A lot of people love Motown. I play a lot of Motown. That's a very suave, smooth, but upbeat music, and so that's also, yeah. So
does some people actually just want you to pick it, knowing that you'll be in that better space too?
Absolutely. They many of them just say, "Oh, just pick it. I'm sure I'll like it," and I want you to be as comfortable as possible. And that's what they say, and that's fine. That's reasonable.
That's fantastic. And you must have really nice sound systems in those operating rooms now.
Well, we've come such a long way with that. I mean, not we, but as in the industry, there are, you know, it doesn't take a small speaker can produce amazing sound. So, yeah, we don't do anything, actually. You don't have to have anything super special. Some of the more contemporary ORs, we have multiple speakers and so forth, surround sound, so to speak, but not many.
And do physicians and surgeons that are doing the exact same little movements, just like musicians, run into these same problems as well?
Oh, you know, I think that they are not doing them. We are not doing them nearly as repetitively as most musicians. I mean, 1/100th probably of the repetition. And what we do is similar more to a submaximal athlete, where you have to change positions to accommodate to the patient and their anatomy. And so, for instance, a broken arm bone, a humerus, the fragments are different, and you have to put the plate in a little different position, and the screws have to go in a little different angle. So you're really not overusing in that sense. I mean, the biggest thing, I think, for a lot of surgeons is just, you know, spending, you know, 12 hours a day on your feet. And also a lot of the stress being transferred into the shoulder, upper shoulders and neck region. So I think they have to do more stretching and more sort of self-care in that regard.
And how are you going to continue to raise money to keep the funds up for the Musicians Treatment Foundation?
Well, because everyone that's listening to you is going to go online and make a contribution. No.
This is great.
No, actually, we have, I'm so happy you asked, because we have multiple ways. We have the benefit of, through my practice and, you know, the people that I know, and I've been in New York a long time, and now I'm in Austin half-time. We have the backing, and we will have the backing of right now Atlantic Records and Concord Records, two of the record labels. But I have contacts with, and we're actually within the next 2 weeks, pretty much going to be contacting all of them, and we expect them all to step up and support this, because it's in their best interest to do so. And so the music industry is hugely, you know, should be behind this, and I think already is to some degree. Another interesting and fairly deep-pocketed group of people that are behind this are the orthopedic implant companies. That's a, you know, a multi-hundred, if not trillion-dollar industry, right? Mm-hmm. Several of them have already been providing free implants when we have to use them for the musicians, and we expect all of them. And I'm going to try to shame every one of them into supporting it, because if there are a few outliers, then they're going to be in the minority and they're not going to be servicing well. But you know, everybody loves music and everybody has a relationship, not just the musicians. And so people love going to concerts. And we've had, you know, in this past year, we've had 5 different concerts that we've raised variable amounts of money based on who's there and what the venue is and so forth. But what's really cool and what we're planning is, you maybe recall, and it's recently was popularized on the movie Bohemian Rhapsody, but Live Aid 1985 was a big success. Bob Geldof organized that, and all those great musicians were involved. But we're doing sort of a recapitulation of that. We're not claiming that mantle at all, but we're doing a big concert on May 10th, 2020, so next May. And we already have people like Joan Jett, and Elvis Costello, and Phil Manzanera, who is the lead guitarist for Roxy Music. We have Bill Evans, an amazing jazz saxophone player. Steve Lukather, the lead guitarist for Toto. We have Adam Duritz, the lead with Counting Crows. And let me, by the way, shout out for him. Adam Duritz has an amazing, it's not yet a nonprofit, but it's such an important thing that he self-funds. It's called the Underwater Sunshine Festival. And that's held in New York each year. What they do is they have these young, or not necessarily young, but not yet commercially successful, but very excellent musicians of really all genres. And they come and they screen them and they can't pick everyone, so they pick 30 of them. And then they make videos that they promote their work online through their festival, but then they also have two nights of live music that raises money for them too. And and we sponsor them, we work with Adam on that, and it's just, what he's done is just fantastic. And
that's wonderful. Alton, there's so much going on, and we just want to thank you for being on our radio show today and for helping the musicians heal so the music can heal the world. It's fantastic to have you on.
It's been an honor, and thank you so very much for having me.
Thanks so much. We'd also like to thank Alan Wishart, who is our producer, and we'd like to thank all the radio stations across Canada that carry Health First Radio. Have a healthy and happy day.